What an exciting morning for us this morning. We have already reflected much on the death of Jesus Christ in the place of sinners because of God's great love for us. We've done that in song. It's even reflected in the life that is here. And what I would like to do this morning in preparation for baptism is just think about the events surrounding the death of Jesus. And if you have a Bible, I would love for you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in chapter 26. I want us to meditate on the events surrounding the death of Jesus. In Matthew 26:14, we learn of a betrayal by a friend. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. From then on, Judas began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. Judas was one of the 12, one of his friends, one of the inside guys. Fast forward a scene to verse 38. And we see there Jesus in the garden praying to his Father. He said to his disciples, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And Jesus went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And our Savior pleaded with his own Father that if there were another way than what was about to happen, we see his arrest in verse 47. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Here the religious leaders had employed the military to come and arrest Jesus. He then is put on trial, not really a trial, a kangaroo court, a mock trial. In verses 66 and 67, he's on trial before the religious leadership. The high priest claims that Jesus is blasphemous for claiming to be the Son of God. "What do you think?" he says, and the crowd answers, "He deserves death." In verse 67, then they spat in his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him. In verse 72, we read of Jesus' denial by Peter. Again, Peter denied it with an oath and said, "I do not even know the man." Jesus' closest friends had abandoned him. In chapter 27, verse 11, we see Jesus not before the religious leaders, but the secular authorities. And he stood before the governor, verse 11. And the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." After the crowd pressured the governor to see Jesus executed, the governor handed him over to be crucified. In verse 27, we see he is mocked by the soldiers. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. Verse 28, they stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. And they nailed him with nails through his wrists and his ankles to planks of wood and hung him up for all the world to see. In verse 46, we read that he was even abandoned by his father. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Suspended in the air between earth and heaven, abandoned, alone, covered in shame, physically wasted, expiring. It all seems like the tragic end to the meteoric rise of a popular, big-hearted do-gooder. The fickle mob turned against him. His close friends betray him. His enemies finally caught up to him and put him up on phony charges. The mighty Roman Empire tortured and executed this really nice but soft-spoken traveling teacher. He was kind but weak and no match for the evil machinery of the corrupt powers of big government and big religion. Or so it seemed. Let's read together chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it, and his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I've told you.' And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him." You see, this Jesus, whom the religious leaders hated and whom the government despised, was no mere man. This was the God-man, and he was stronger than death. God had taken on flesh, had walked the earth, had lived among us, and had been killed, but not as a victim. He died on purpose as our substitute to pay for the sins of everyone who would ever believe. This was no accident. Jesus came and lived and died. And he died in our place. And he conquered death and rose again so that all who believe in him are also conquerors of death and belong to him forever. And this Jesus gave instructions to his followers. He says in verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, make disciples, going, baptizing, and teaching them to observe what I've taught you." Jesus' followers are then to make more followers of this same Jesus. This morning, seven of our friends are going to stand before us and tell us how they have become followers of Jesus Christ. And not because they've cleaned up their act or got religious, started doing good things instead of bad things. No, these have been raised from death into life, just as we sang this morning. The one who conquered death has given these ones spiritual life that culminates in a forever eternal physical life. These ones were enemies of God. They were in rebellion against God, and they were going nowhere but the grave. And now they are new creations. And they're here to tell you about God's grace in their lives. How God has taken all of their sins and placed their sins upon Jesus to completely pay for them once and for all. And they stand before you today forgiven, declared righteous, new creatures on the basis of God's grace, which has raised them from the dead. I'll say no more, and I'll let them tell you about it.